You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. And since we last spoke, Scott, there's been a lot of trading updates and a couple of results from South African listed companies, and also a lot from the United States of America. And if you sit back, as you will do later on, and say, OK, what do I think about what's happened in the last week or 10 days or so? What is your overall impression? Good, bad, indifferent, what?
Well, I think. Well, firstly, you know, good evening, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Good evening to all the Strictly Business listeners. Yeah, it is. I mean, we've said this often. You know, direction is going to be very difficult in this market, and volatility is going to be the name of the game. And man, I mean, this just look at this past, I want to say 48 hours to see exactly what we're meaning. I mean, you know, a lady sitting on an airplane, you know, more than 300 people. 1,000 people monitoring, you know, her flight, you know, as she's flying over the Philippines towards Taipei. I mean, wow. And look what the markets did, you know, during that time. You know,
you're talking about the visit of the Speaker of the House, and Nancy Pelosi. Is that what you're talking about?
But that's just one little point. I mean, just to show you, you know, what volatility actually means. I mean, you know, how, you know, certain things reacted good and bad. This morning we opened up and you could see markets were really iffy. I mean, the East China was looking a little bit better, but yeah, it was lackluster in South Africa. Volumes were extremely thin. I mean, you know, I thought before we're going to go on air now, I thought I'm going to show you, you know, value traded of around about 10 or 12 or 13 billion. I'm not going to say what we traded. I'll keep this, you know.
Keep that a secret until 10 minutes time. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. But I mean, it was really thin volume. And then, you know, the U.S. started picking up and things, you know, a few results came out. We had you know, the U.S. that came out and said, well, that cartel basically came out and said, well, what they're going to do is they agreed to lift production with another 100,000 barrels of oil per day in September, and boom, you know, we've seen the reaction on the oil price. We've seen the reaction in the market. As I'm currently sitting here, I'm looking at a Nasdaq that's up close to 2%, S&P 500 up over 1%, Dow Jones up 1%. Hey, happy days. Happy days. So where's the bear market, Scott?
But it's August the 3rd. I mean, come on now, it's just August the 3rd. And you talk about volumes, and we'll come to the JSE Securities Exchange volume, or value traded rather, later on. But it's very, very thin in the States as well, Skulk, and you know that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, undoubtedly. But it's the right things we want to see. I think, you know, as a commodity trader that might be long in this market, this is a typical day where they just want to switch off their computers and run. And I'm not just talking about the hard commodities. I'm looking like things as we currently sit here. You know, your wheat price is down 2% today. Soya beans is down, you know, 1%. Lumber is down close to 3%. This is the right murmurs we want to be hearing, you know, if we're fighting inflation and ultimately want to see an end towards interest rate hikes, because that's what ultimately also sort of reacted to the market yesterday, because we saw that Fed yesterday, or some of the speakers came out yesterday stating that there is just no way anybody can think that this is the end of the Fed really trying to combat fighting inflation, and yeah, markets were in the pressure. We saw, you know, spikes in yields in the US, and things were. But today, yeah, things are looking better. Inflation seems to be looking after itself. You know, some of the major commodity prices, and there I'm referring solely towards oil, that is starting to look after itself, and markets love it. I mean, and I've said it last week. I've said it. You know, the Fed, or most specifically the U.S., if we can learn anything, you know, on the U.S. specifically over the last 25 years, and I know it's been longer, but specifically look at the past 25 years, the moment they look at an environment where we growth tapers off all these recession fears, they react very, very quickly, and they will use any means possible. And I think that's what we're seeing in the market. Markets are saying, well, we see what you're saying, and we can see what you're doing. And clearly you are fighting inflation.
It's very interesting when you talk about inflation taking care of itself, because I look at my screen now, which is flashing away nonstop. I've got West Texas crude 92.64, down 2%. I've got Brent crude 98.64, down 2%. Natural gas down 0.8. Gasoline prices down 2.75. And these are live prices on international exchanges. But on the other hand, if you go into any shop at the moment, it's not just the price that is set in New York or Chicago or London that is reflected in supermarkets. People are still paying more. I mean, if you go to Lebanon or Turkey, for example, you're still paying 150 to 250% more for your goods today than you were a year ago. So it takes a while. So you've got the internationally traded prices for people like you and I that trade them and have a look at them, and the real cost of living, which is someone who goes out to a supermarket and buys the stuff. So there's a dislocation between the two, Skulk.
Yeah, and do I think that's going to change anytime soon? And remember, I'm talking on a day where we suddenly see a lot of these, you know, commodities which you are referring to, which you are buying in those shops, is today, you know, coming down quite heavily. Do I think that it's over? And I think prior to we starting this podcast, you were referring to is this a bottom, you know, or a top, you know, on inflation? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think in the interim, as I mentioned, that the US is really, really focused on getting this down. And I think, you know, I still believe that over the shorter term they're going to have some success, but the major issues still persist. I mean, if you look at, there's still a war, you know, going on as we speak, in Ukraine between Russia, and that doesn't seem to be having a light at the end of the tunnel soon or
no,
anytime soon.
Definitely.
We've got everybody sitting in pins and needles currently, you know, when we look towards, you know, further east towards China, you know, Taiwan. I think the one thing that I can tell listeners out there, if anybody tells you that they know all the answers, they clearly don't know they don't know the question. I mean, because I don't think we've really been here, and we've had, you know, a few geopolitical, you know, unrest. If you just turn the clock back towards, let's call it the beginning of 2000, it's a little bit more than 20 years ago, we had a similar environment. We had monetary tightening, we had rates increasing, we had a geopolitical, you know, environment or unrest, not really towards the east, more towards the Middle East. On that stage was Iraq, Afghanistan, you know, all those places. Very similar, but still very, very different. And if anybody told you back then that they know it, where it was going to end, you know, I think they didn't really, you know, comprehend, or they were really guessing. So as it currently, as I sit here, I don't believe that inflation will you know, be solved, you know, within the next few months. I do think that they're gonna do a few things like they're now showing. I mean, extra 100,000 barrels of oil per day in September is a relief, but I mean, I think the major
the point
issue
I was trying to make, Scout, I know what you're trying to say, but I think there's a time lag between what happens on an internationally traded commodity on an exchange in New York, London, or Chicago, wherever it is. There is a time lag between that and it filtering down to, for example, the consumer. And I use the example of Lebanon and Turkey, but it's also London and it's also Johannesburg or Cape Town where you are. So there is this time lag. But I think the important thing is that the people that make the monetary decisions, in other words, the people that set the price of money in whatever country you are looking at the screen that I'm looking at now and saying, okay, forward-looking, the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield has gone from nearly 350 to yesterday at one stage 250. granted it's rallied today by 8 basis points to 2.82, but on the other hand, maybe it has peaked, and that will ultimately, with supply constraints being lifted, filter down to the household, and that is what inflation is to me. The inflation to me is not the Fed. Inflation to me is you going to Woolworths and me going down to my local shop in the Netherlands. That's inflation.
Oh, yeah, undoubtedly. And do I think over the shorter term period that should be relieved? Yes, I do think that. Remember, the whole world is currently staying together to get that out. I mean, this is uncomfortable. We're seeing riots all over the world. We've seen this in South Africa now this week, where we certain communities just says, well, we're fed up. We're fed up paying the amount of petrol prices. We're fed up, you know, not having electricity. We're fed up going to the shops and paying for our bread, milk, real bare necessities. I think bottom line is, I do agree over the shorter term period that we can see some relief, but just note why we had this inflation spike, and you need to ask yourself, besides, you know, COVID-19 that seems to be under control for now, the rest of the issues are still there. They're still unchanged. I mean, we still got a major, let's call it, geopolitical environment, you know, towards Russia, Ukraine, and then that whole, let's call it, that whole region.
Yes, indeed. I mean, the unwinding of the last 2.5 years is not just going to take 2.5 weeks. It's going to take a long time. COVID, the way that people's spending and general habits have changed over that time, it is quite extraordinary. And I don't think the market, and or rather market participants, quite understand what that means for their investing futures. But anyway, that's a much bigger discussion for a much longer time. Let's have a look at what's happened in South Africa, because I said it's coming up to earnings season, and there's been some pretty feisty updates and operational reports, whether it be from retailers or from commodity producers, the diggers. Where do you want to start? Pick a couple of highlights and lowlights, if you would, Skulk.
What did they today?
Well, just over the last week, actually. I mean, it's the Anglo stable, and it's a lot of retailers. Tell us what you think.
I think the Anglo stable, I mean, from an Anglo point of view, I was somewhat surprised to see Anglo looking to be struggling a little bit more than for instance Kumba. I would have guessed that something like Kumba would have, but I mean, I think this past few days it's really been good for the miners. We've seen gold price ticking up, although today it's down again. Gold price ticking up, you know, PGMs in general, you know, kicked up quite nicely. When we look at the coal prices, I mean, wow, Thungela. I mean, thank goodness we've got coal in Billiton. Otherwise, it would have been, I think they would have been under immense pressure. But I think in general, the little bit of a kick up in some of these commodity prices, let's call it harder commodity prices, has been good for these miners.
I had to laugh, actually, Scout, before you go on, because I have to, well, it's in my mind. I saw a headline on a particular website after Thungela came out with its numbers, and it said, Thungela rises on the back of coal prices. I thought, oh, really? Whoever wrote that shouldn't really be a journalist, but even I could be a journalist with that sort of analysis. Of course it goes up on coal prices, but then again, that's retrospective. But anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
Did you see the average prices? I mean, just on that point, I mean, to put that in perspective, because, I mean, we'll be covering a bit of old news now, and I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but, I mean, that trading update that came out earlier this week was up to the end of June, 30 June 2022 to be precise, and it was for the 6 month average. Now, over that six month period, or not average, over that 6 month period, the average coal price was around about the $376 per ton. Now, to put that in perspective, you know, the previous 6 months, now that's the 6 months, you know, dating, you know, from 1st of July to 31st of December, it was a little bit over $170 per ton. I think it was $176 per ton to be exact. I mean, that's a massive,
so it's
massive
doubled, in
jump.
Other words, average-wise, yeah, it's doubled.
Exactly. And then as the results came out, I don't know if from, oh yeah, here we go. As we currently sit here, the coal price now is trading $404 per ton, even after today's, let's call it close to, you know, half.
It's $403.50, which is down 0.4% on the day. But you've made your point, and your point is made very well indeed. This thing's going through the roof. Green energy.
Exactly.
Coal is cocking a snoot at this at green energy at the moment. It's extraordinary what's happened, and Thungela must make the most of it and do something with that money, because this is not going to last. We know that. No. But anyway, Scott, let's talk about retailers now, because I know you like a bit of retail here and there. You're a shopper yourself, and you also invest on behalf of your clients in South African retail stocks. There's been a few numbers out, and they've been very differing. They've differed from being awful, like Massmart, to being pretty good, like ShopRite.
Yeah, but we've had the Massmart conversation and the Woolworths conversation, you know, quite a few times. And we're not talking about over the past few months. We're talking now for the past 3 to 4 years.
Yes.
You're not talking about those two, you know, retail companies that just keep on getting it wrong. I'm not going to go into Woolworths, because we discussed it last week. We know the problem there. We know it's Australia. We most probably, you know, specifically can point it towards David Jones, because the rest, I mean, Woolworths Food's always been a great company. And we've often had this conversation. Hey, come on, let's split Woolworths in two. Let's do Woolworths Food and Woolworths Other. You know, you can do the cosmetic. And let's see where this ends up. I mean, because I don't foresee the current Woolworths, let's call it the clothing and cosmetic side, really you've been able to look after itself. But okay, that's covered. Massmart, oh my word, no man.
Horrible.
I mean, this has been horrible. But again, another story where we keep on going on. They went through the whole COVID process. And when we talked about the online services, how certain online shopping services improved for most of the companies, you by the click of a button, you can buy your clothing anywhere. Most of the companies, I mean, the Massmart, or more specifically, when I look at what is the major brand? Now I'm blank.
What are you talking about? Sorry, I missed you there. I was reading a message.
The big shop.
Macro,
that's the one. Mm-hmm. Macro. I mean, it shows you. Is it Friday?
You're getting old. Yeah. Yes, it is Friday.
I'm getting older. but Macro, I mean, Macro, I've often said it. They're sitting with the most wonderful warehouses situated all over South Africa. They don't even have to acquire, warehouses. Just increase or improve your online services. I've bought a few things, or tried to buy a few things, on Macro, since lockdown.
What?
Twice.
Like, for example,
both
what?
Of those stuff. One was in the middle of COVID. Now that's one of the most things. You're sitting in hard lockdown. There goes my television. So we opened up.
So you bought
up
a television from Macro?
Yeah, because on that stage we weren't really allowed to go and drive out to the shop. So I understand that. And I think five or 6 days later, I feel like I'm dissing them. I had to cancel my order because everything was just so stuffed up. But I think the
so what you're saying, it didn't arrive?
No, it didn't arrive. But again, I don't want to go down on, because this is a,
no,
this is a
don't be too personal about it, but it's indicative of the malaise that has been in place. And I have to say this, and this is nothing to do with the Walmart investment in the company. It hasn't been the same since then. I know. Yeah. Obviously, the economy hasn't been good, but other retailers have been making the most of it. Yeah, ShopRite, precisely.
I mean, it's a little bit different business model than a Macro or Massmart. Mm. But I mean, you know, I mean, we went into hard lockdown March 2020, and I think a week later we started hearing these little scooters, the 6060 scooters, which I mean, now you can clearly see. I mean, I know that was they closed some you know, non-profit making businesses in the rest of Africa, which just shows you again, if you go and proactively look at businesses that don't make money, close it down. Close it down. If there's no future, I mean, and don't be, I mean, you can give it some time. Naturally, you know, certain things go cycles. But I mean, how long is the David Jones cycle going to last for Woolworths?
What do you think about that? We've only got about another 5 minutes to go, and I'm going to give the prices in a moment. What do you think about that? When you've got a loss-making idea, a loss-making business model, loss-making divisions, what do you do? Because I was just reading something, and this is completely off the wall. I was reading today that as Warner Brothers was producing a film called Batgirl, and it cost $100 million, and they just said at the end, they said, no, this is rubbish. We're not going to... It finished post-production, even post-production, about a week ago. And they said, no, we're not going to release this because it will be too embarrassing. The film is rubbish. We're not going to make our money back. So we'd rather get rid of it and it'll be a tax write-off for us. So they did that. How many times do CEOs and boards of directors say to themselves, actually, you know what, we made a mistake. Let's take it on the chin. I think the Woolworths have been not taking it on the chin for too long.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's I keep on referring to the African bank story, and again, I mean, a lot of people might say, well, this is again totally different. I mean, eventually, the why African Bank went bankrupt the first time around and really, you know, put a lot of investors and also kind of clients in a bit of a distress or big worry was because they bought Ellerines, and Ellerines eventually went from not just a company that didn't make profit, went making billions of losses. It wasn't cut, and eventually I personally think that the end of African Bank was mostly to do with the fact that they didn't cut that loss-making business, namely Ellerines. You need to make that call, and that's where the difference. I mean, I follow Formula One, and I was, you're not a big Formula One fan.
I was when Lewis Hamilton was running away with it, but now that's whatever his name is, that little arrogant Dutchman is doing well, then I watch it out the corner of my eye. But anyway, that's an aside. Off you
Lewis
go.
Is back. I can just tell you Lewis is back, but I mean, he's got a great partner, and I can see this making come up. But that's not the point. The point what I want to make is looking to their rivals, and that's not the Dutchman or Red Bull, that's Ferrari. I mean, how long is that again, I'm going to refer to them as management, because management decisions cost, in my view, Ferrari, you know, a lot of wins this year, and it's going to eventually cost them. They had one of the best cars in decades. I mean, but stupid decision making is costing them, you know, the wins. It's costing them finishing races, and bringing us back to what you're saying. Somewhere along the line, you know, the Ferrari should go out there and say, "Well, sorry, we're going to cut this whole management, yes, and let's get in new management that can take this over the line."
Streamline the business, because I mean, it's a bulging. I mean, this again, we're talking specifics, but I mean, I think the general theme can be extrapolated from the individual example. Just streamline the business and stop. Yep. Thinking, well, I'm Ferrari, so I can do this, and there's a bottomless pit of money. Incidentally, Ferrari's retail numbers were spectacular yesterday. I don't know if you
saw them.
Very
good.
Weren't they good? They sold lot of over-expensive, stupid cars. Beautiful cars, but very stupid. Skulk, I'm going to give you some prices now.
It's really good, and it's funny how that you know, company. Yeah, I often said, you know, this is a company that I would love to be invested in. You're sitting with besides the fact that they've got beautiful cars.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's beautiful cars. But I mean, as an investment, this company has always been fairly resilient towards, you know, different market environments. Even in an environment which is perceived to be a struggle, you know, they're actually doing, you know, they're doing pretty well.
It's defensive, Skalk, but simply because of the inequality between the richest and the poorest. The richest will always have money to spend on a £300,000, 5 million rand car. They will always have that money. So in a perverse way, a luxury goods company, which is what it is, like Ferrari, will always be defensive and always do well. And we have a friend, and you and I and he have had a number of discussions together. David Shapiro has always been a big fan of theirs. Anyway.
Yeah, just by the way, for the listeners out there, here's a little snippet that a lot of people don't even know or maybe can go and look at tonight, because if you're also a Ferrari fan, I mean, there's a company listed in Europe called Exor.
Yes.
Exor, E-X-O-R. It's a very similar business model or business, you know, type of company towards a, you know, for local people know them as Remgro, holding company. You know, you know that I actually looked at Remgro, you know, a few years ago, and I said, oh, that discount is just way too big. But when you look
and
at
when
Exor,
was it then? It was like 25-30%, and now it's what, 40-45% or what?
It went from about 45%, and it's now run about the 30s. It's called 30.
Okay, it's come back good.
I still think that it's still looking good, and you can see the management. You know, they've done the Distell deal. They've done this dark fiber with Vodacom. And this RMB was it first round. But the one that I want to refer to again is Azor. When you look at Azor, the largest holding in Azor is in Ferrari. It makes up about, let's just call it, close to 30% of the holdings inside the portfolio. Also trading at a 40% discount currently.
That's your tip of the day. Very good. So 30%.
That's it. Just something to go and look at.
Yeah, the other 70%.
And you want to be invested.
Yeah, the other 70% you can look at, maybe they're dogs, but certainly that's an interesting one. Okay, Skalk. Let me get on with this now. I'm going to refresh my screen and have a look at the live prices. The rand's been under pressure today. It's 2% weaker against the US dollar. It's 16.81. The British pound against the rand is 20.38. The euro rand is 17.04. The euro dollar is 101.40, which is a 1.2% gain for the US dollar after a period of weakness. British pound against the US dollar, the cable, is 1% weaker at 121.30. The gold price, which you spoke about earlier, it's your a small personal obsession. You have certain obsessions, excuse me, and one of them is gold. 1758 is the gold price. The white metals look like this. Platinum down $10 to 887, and palladium, after a horrible day yesterday, is having another nightmare today. It's suddenly 4.3% weaker to 1997, down $90 per ounce. Okay, the oil price. You said that there's been some production news or supply news. Well, it's hit the Brent crude oil price to the tune of 2.5%, $98.16 at the moment. The West Texas crude, $92.01 per barrel, 2.6% down, and all the other commodities following in the energy sector's wake, except for steel, which is closed. That was up 1.3%. US 10-year Treasury yield, and we spoke about that, and despite the fact the commodities are on the back foot, there's about a 4 basis point rise in the US 10-year to 2.78%. The South African 10-year bond yield is 10.35%, I think, unless my screen has yet to be refreshed. No, it's 10.35%. Bitcoin, whatever, 23,320, which is up 1.25%. And the S&P 500 futures, Skalk will give us the live Wall Street in a moment. But at the moment, flying 1.25% higher, 4,144 for S&P 500 futures. Goodness me, that's exhausting. Some interesting market moves, Skalk. Do you want to run through the ups and downs on the JSE?
I think very, 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 you know, Naspers. Slow day today. I think that And nice place with Beck. But let's just look at, I think, news-wise, very, very quiet. Absa was the only one that really stood out for me. And it was a further trading statement. Remember, they brought out a trading statement on the 21st of June.
Yes.
Where they, you know, guided that the headline earnings per share will be up more than 20%. Now, today, they updated that trading statement, stating that they're expecting the headline earnings per share to increase by 27% to 32%. Now, that's HEPS of between 12.52 and 13.02. And when you look at consensus, and I'm using Refinitiv's estimates, Refinitiv's estimates currently still got them as 11.41. So it doesn't matter what they bring out, 12.52 is going to be a massive beat, even if they bring it out on the lower side. Share price reacted very favorably, close to 3% up for today, closed at R172.68. That's 2.85% up for today. So
yes, it did. At the top of the leaderboard, though, Naspers is up 4.14%, to be absolutely precise, and its sister or brother below it, Prosus, up 3.75%. AB InBev up nearly 2.9%. Absa Group up 2.9%, nearly. And Discovery doing well as well, 2.8%. Oh, I haven't seen that one for ages. They've gone a bit quiet. On the downside, Digger on the downside. AngloGold Ashanti down 4.1%. Harmony down 4%. Goldfields down 3.8%. Thungela down 3.4%. And Alpha Men down 2.9%. So it's like the old days. Split decision on the JSE. You've got certain stocks doing, you know, it's the traditional South African commodity producers doing one thing, and the rest of the market, the international holdings and local stocks, doing other things. Very interesting day, I think.
Yeah, we need to add something to that losers list, because there was one share that topped all your diggers, because you mentioned AngloGold is the worst performer, 4.1, but for some reason your Massmart's not on the list, 7.5% down again. Ouch!
Again, because it was 7.8% yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yep. Was down
maybe
to
it's
yesterday.
Not big enough to be on my list, because mine are the top shares. But anyway. That's horrible. That's a really big move. 2 days, probably 15% to 17%. Massive.
I'm going to while we chat, I'm just going to bring up the historic share price here, because I want to see this, because I think this is only in the past 2 days.
You're a masochist.
Days.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, let's do this. I think this is going to be fun. Let's go bring this up.
Oh, there you go. Have some
okay,
fun.
Okay, so Massmart today closed at, they closed at R31.53. Now, when we turn the clock back, and I'm going to turn the clock back to, let's do 5 years first. 2017.
85, 90 Rand per share, maybe more.
113 Rand in July last year, this time around.
There we go.
2017. Yeah, so this is a company that's now trading more or less a third of its value compared to what it was trading 5 years ago. And if we turn the clock back a little bit further, let's go back, when we look at 10 years, 2013, May 2013, this share price was trading over 200 Rand.
It's 15% of its value from its peak, more or less. Is that what you're saying?
More or less 10 years ago. That's just horrible.
And some fund managers are still holding those shares at 200 plus. And they got all excited about Walmart coming in and buying a stake, and they would revamp it. But unfortunately, Walmart doesn't understand the African market. So anyway, give us the closing JSE indices, if you would, Skulk, and also Live Wall Street.
Yeah, okay. So the JSE today closed at 68,611 points. That is up 90 basis points. As you mentioned, the diggers or resources were a little bit under pressure, didn't have a positive day, down 41 basis points. Industrials had a wonderful day, 1.3%, but that was topped by financials. Financials up over 2%, 2.03% to be exact. Even the SA Property Index, they enjoyed a positive day as well, up 61 basis points, while the JSE Top 40 up just shy of 1%, closed the day at 62,199 points. Value trade in the market, as I mentioned, very, very, very slow day, very quiet day. If we didn't have the, let's call it the final 15 minutes of the day, we'd most probably be in around 10 billion. But, yep, closed the day at 18 billion today. So a sub 20 billion day, not very, very active. Okay, so now we get to the good part.
Okay, Wall Street, this is flying now. They're off to the races on Wall Street.
Might give us some direction for what could happen again for us tomorrow.
Good.
NASDAQ now up over 2%, to be exact, 2.2%, trading at 12,616 points. S&P 500 up 1.3%, trading 4,145 points. And Dow Jones up 1.1%, 32,741 points. And I mean, you mentioned that the Brent crude earlier, I mean, it seems like it's heading for towards that $90 per barrel mark, now trading below $92, trading to $91.50 to be exact, down over 3%. Bit of a free fall there on our West Texas intermediary. So, this could be good for inflation. This could be good for some, a little bit of a short term, or let's call it dead cat bounce in the market. Let's hope it lasts.
I hope so. Have a look at the CRB index, which is the basket of commodities. I'm looking at the screen now. It's got a sloping head and shoulders. I'm talking technical rubbish now. And I haven't got any basis for saying this, but this thing looks like it's going much, much lower. Commodities, that is. Scott Clough, thank you very much for your time. A really, really good chat. Lots of fun and lots of informative fun, more importantly. Scott Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town, and he'll be back with me same time next Wednesday. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.